Well, last week in Huntersville, a young woman wrote a letter to her ex-boyfriend. Dear Brian, words cannot express my deep regret that I broke off our engagement. Please forgive me. Please take me back. Only you can fill this void in my life. I realize now how much I love you. Love forever, Susan. P.S. And congratulations on winning the lottery. You see, our world is filled with that kind of love. We call it conditional love. Love in the good times. Love when we're good. Love if you do this. This conditional love destroys marriages, destroys families, destroys lives and relationships. We know this. We know the destructive power of conditional love. Yet we search for an answer to this question. Lord, how can I love through a condition within me that allows me to love a condition around me? Today God answers that question and gives us the gift of love that can survive any condition around us, that will fulfill that amazing promise that Paul offers in the first letter to the Corinthians. Love hopes all things, endures all things, overcomes all things. Love never fails. This love is God's fourth gift of Advent out of five. These gifts of Advent in which we prepare during this time to celebrate the coming of Jesus into the world. And pray during these days of preparation that God will come into our lives in some deeper and life-changing way. God changes our lives during Advent with His gifts. First with hope, then with peace, then with joy, and today with love. God gives us this gift through the most beautiful love letter ever written. It is written by the disciple John, who also wrote the Gospel of John, which is filled from the beginning to the end and always in between with love. John thus wrote this letter not to a church, but to all followers of Jesus, to remind us and encourage us to live by love, to help us as the followers of Jesus then and now to know how love is possible, no matter what the conditions are in which we are called to love. We're going to unwrap this gift in layers, because what we will find is the Scriptures begin with God's love for us, and then our letting God love us, and then us loving others, no matter what. Here's how it goes. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son to the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. That is in the third chapter of the Gospel of John. Well, maybe Jesus gets nervous, because towards the end of the Gospel, in fact, His last night before He is crucified, He adds to this. It's not just about you, Jesus says. This is My commandment. Jesus says, love each other as I love you. By this all people will know, if you are My followers, if you love each other. And then later in his life, towards the end of his life, John writes this letter following up on the commandment of Jesus. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son to the world that we might live through Him. This is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. If we love one another, God lives in us, and His love is made complete in us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. We love because God first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, but hates their brother or sister, they are a liar. For anyone who does not love those whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. For Jesus has given us this commandment, whoever loves God must love their brothers and their sisters. Now here's what I'd love to see today. When somebody is in that football stadium, they hold on a big sign that says, John what? 3:16. I'd love for somebody next to them to hold up this big sign that says John 13:35 or 1 John 4:17. Since God so loved us, we ought to love one another as Jesus loved us. Now, that's true. And God loved us so much that He sent His Son to save us, to give us new life. What John wants us to see, what Jesus wants us to understand, that He also sent Jesus so that we would love each other as Jesus loves us, so that our love will save others and will give life and new life to our marriages, to our families, to our relationships, to all the lives that God puts in our lives. Yeah, so often we look at that second sign, and boy, it would be great if somebody would hold up one of those signs. Everybody would say, what is 1 John 4:17? They'd all go look it up. But we see the sign and we say to ourselves, really? Jesus? Am I supposed to live that one? That one who said that to me? That one who did that to me? That one who's not living up to what I expect? Not living up to those promises they made to me? That one is always letting me down? The one is always focused on themselves? It's all about them? I'm doing everything and they're doing nothing. Really, Jesus? Am I supposed to live that one who lied to me? Who cheated me? Who cheated on me? Really? Jesus? Love that one? You know, so often we're like that little boy who wrote a letter to Jesus about this. Dear Jesus, do you really love everybody? Well, I only have 4 people in my family. I can't even do that. Really, Jesus? That person? When we ask that question, Jesus asks us this question. Have you looked lately at how I love you? Do you feel that love? Do you even know that love? When I love you, when so much about you really seems unlovable, when you think and say and do those things that I do not love, Jesus says, I don't want to see in your life. You see, this is this great truth that John reveals to us this morning. When we're not able to love someone, including that other one, that means that we have forgotten. We've stopped paying attention to. We've closed our heart to Jesus' love for us. See, our love for others, especially that other, depends on our letting the love of Jesus pour into our hearts and letting Him love us and embracing His love for us. When there's so much we confess unlovable about us and that even Jesus really shouldn't love. You see, this is the love-empowering truth that John wants us to learn and live this morning. We love because God first loved us. What is that love that God gives us and empowers us to love? This is how God showed His love. He sent His one and only Son that we might live through Him. He sent His one and only Son as a sacrifice for our sins. Our sins. And since God so loved us like that, John says, then we ought to so love those in our lives. The love that God gives us is to take away our sins so that you and I, we can love those who sin against us. I have 2 asterisks this morning in my notes. This is the first one. I've got a confession to make to you. Good thing Sally's not here, because she would say to me, you know, if you're going to confess something about yourself, why don't you just give me a heads up? Well, I'm not including her today, and that's when she really is not happy about it. But I have to keep learning this lesson about loving the people, that other that has sinned against me. And I'm going to share this lesson with you this morning because it's about Christmas time. You know, at Christmas we celebrate three really important births. The birth of Jesus, the birth of Myra Grant, and the birth of my friend Angelo Evans. As many of you know, Dick Ranson, our friend and brother here who died a few months ago, Dick and I were mentors for Angelo Evans for 3 years after he got out of prison the fourth time. And I invested a lot of my life in Angelo. He became my friend. I was with him, talked to him almost every day, had lunch with him every week. I invested my life in Angelo. I thought I actually loved him. Till that day that Angelo went missing. And I found Angelo wandering on the street, high as a kite. And he had taken $973 that Dick and I worked so hard for him to put in a savings account. He'd withdrawn every penny of it, and in 2 days, he blew it all on crack cocaine. Then I learned that he had actually lost his job several weeks before because he started a fight. Which is, by the way, not the story he told me. And then I found out that he'd been lying to us for 3 months about going to NA meetings. Angelo lied to me over and over again. He let me down, I said. So I was angry with Angelo, and I did not love him. My heart turned away from him, and I turned away from him. Phone call stopped, and there were no lunches. Well, if you don't know something else about God, God has a great sense of humor. So me, this pontificating Sunday school teacher at Myers Park Prez, I was getting ready to prepare a lesson. Guess what was on? Love. And the passage I turned to was this one. God so loved the world that he gave his son to sacrifice our sins so that we can love one another. Angelo's face spread across those words. The one I no longer loved. The one who needed love more than anyone I knew. See, what I realized is what I was for Angelo was a social worker. I was trying to fix Angelo. What I was not was a follower of Jesus Christ who was sent to love him. Well, in those days, I was a very prideful person in many ways. I almost never went to my knees before God. Way too much groveling. So I went to my knees that day. And I asked Jesus what I should do. And in silence, unusual also for me, Jesus said, "Let me love you. Let me love you. Give me your sins. I'll take away what stands in the way of your loving Angelo." So I let Jesus lead me to love me enough to take away these sins. Pride, arrogance, judgment, prejudice, resentment, lack of compassion, failure to forgive. My desire, above all things, to control Angelo my way. A man whose life was so different from my own. All this anger and judgment and resentment for Angelo was lifted away by the love of Jesus given to me. And their place was forgiveness and love that Jesus had just given to me. So I went to see Angelo. And I said to Angelo, "I am sorry I walked away from you. I'm going to be there for you." And then I said something I never said to him before, I realized. "Angelo, I love you." And Angelo just said to me, "Thank you. I love you." And he hugged me. Well, I loved Angelo after that. Not just with words. I was there for him. I was there for him a few months later when he messed up again. Turns out the crack is a demon and doesn't let go easily. When he committed crime, another one. And I was there when he was in jail awaiting his trial. I was there with him in his trial when he was convicted and sentenced to 11 years in prison, where he now is. And I've been there for him since he's been in prison. I received a letter from Angelo the week that Dick Ranson died. And the heart of this letter was this. You and Dick, Judy and Sally, are the only people who love me. And when I get down, it is your love that lifts me up. And it makes me want to be better. Well, is there anyone in your life that you are not loving? I don't mean with your feelings or your words, but with your life. If there's not now, there will be someday, sooner than you think. God says to us this morning, then let me love you. Let me love away the things that are getting in the way. The love I want you to have for this person in your life. If we let God love us that way, He will empower us to give Him those sins that stand in the way and to give them the love that they need to lift them up when nobody else loves them. Well, I'm going to be very specific about that love. This is asterisk number 2, and it's a big one on this page here. I really was very uncertain about whether I ought to do this. I'll tell you why in a minute. But Jesus just kept drawing me back and drawing me back and saying, yep, you're going to talk about this morning. This is the toughest test of loving someone that you do not love or you don't think you do. It's the love of that other in our marriage. When the going gets tough. What I'm going to offer you speaks specifically to marriage, but it pertains to every relationship, to future relationships you may have, but is in the context of marriage. Now, I know that in this church, there are at least 27 men and women who are divorced. And I'm not judging you. You know that I love you without condition, every one of you. And I know that there are circumstances, no matter what we do, that divorce happens. For safety, protection of you and your family. But there are times when John's love letter can bring us together, can bring our love back to life. And whenever you are, wherever you are today in your marriage or your relationship, John's love letter will keep you loving. Keep your marriage alive. Now, I want to show you this slide. This is a man and a woman in a very blissful moment. Any of y'all remember this moment? Oh, yeah. Woo! Anybody remember the word we're saying up there? Probably not. When I got married, I was barely 22 years old. What did I know? So, there they are. They're up there. And what they're doing is before God and before their family and their friends and their pastor, they're making vows, promises. And these are the promises we make. I take you to be my husband or my wife, to have and to hold from this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, and sickness and as health, to love and to cherish as long as we both shall live. This is my solemn vow. Marriage, my friends, is a gift of God's love. That person that God brings into your life is His gift. And so the pastor concludes, what God has brought together, let no one take apart. Unfortunately, some are like the young man who, in response to the vow, said, well, I'll take better, richer, and health. Which, honestly, when I'm standing up there with Sally in December the 27th of 1969, that's all I was voting for. And a few other things that were not in the vows. Unfortunately, what happens in every marriage, will be worse, poorer, and sickness. And what happens when worse and poorer and sickness happen, for some, love begins to wane. Sometimes we protest. Well, I still love them, but I can't any longer put up with fill in the blank. God responds this morning from chapter 3 of John's letter. Jesus laid down his life for us. And so we must lay down our lives for others, even that other. Let us love, John says, not with words, but with actions and with truth. If we claim that we still love that other, then our lives must show it. And our lives must face the truth. Not just about them, but us. And all this can only happen if we let God love us by confessing our sins that He wants to take away with His love, so that we can love like Jesus loves us, taking the initiative to bring us together. God first loved us, seeing what there is to love, left to love, in that other, and doing what it takes to show the love of Jesus to that other person in your life. Loving with the firm conviction that Paul is right. Love hopes all things, endures all things, overcomes all things. Love never fails. Sometimes we claim, yeah, but they have to meet me halfway. Thanks be to God that God does not say to me, Fred, I'm not going to love you until you meet me halfway. And until you do, I'm walking away. So often, my friends, we give up too soon. We give up on letting God love our sins away so that we can love not just with words, but with actions and with the truth. The one that God has given us to love and to cherish, for better or worse, for richer or poor, sickness and health, as long as we both shall live. Well, that's a bunch of words, isn't it? So what I want to do is I want to conclude this morning with a practical way to put into practice what God offers us this morning. Our daughter Shannon and son-in-law Mark live 1 John 4. I know she's my daughter, but this happens to be the truth. So I shared with you in the past at their wedding, the pastor, who is Tim Keller, whom some of you know, gave them this instruction that I mentioned to you before. He looked at Shannon and Mark and said, Shannon and Mark, when there's trouble in your marriage or some struggle, do not try to go to each other to resolve it. First, each of you go to Jesus. Put Him in the midst of your marriage. Let Him show you what part you're playing in the struggle and the trouble that's going on. And let Him guide you is how to get through. And go to each other, not just the two of you, but all three. And if you will do that, God will bless your marriage in ways that you will never imagine. They have, and God has. For 15 years, almost without fail, here is what Mark and Shannon do to live 1 John 4. Every week, sometimes Mark is in Hong Kong, but every week, by phone or in person, they get together and they pray together. Then each of them shares what it is in their life that week, themselves, in which they were not the husband or the wife, the father or the mother that Jesus wanted them to be. And they ask to be forgiven. And they are. And then they share with each other what they love, admire, appreciate in the other as a husband and wife, a father or a mother. Then they thank Jesus for forgiving them and loving them and being in the midst of their marriage and now their family. And Shannon and Mark got the news on Friday of Mark's new position. It was exciting. I had a long conversation with Shannon. It is going to be a struggle, my friends. First of all, they're going to be uprooted from Seattle, where they've only been for 9 months, and where they're sinking roots already. And Mark is going to be gone for weeks at a time, and I'm not talking to Raleigh. I'm talking Mumbai and Hong Kong and Abu Dhabi, and for weeks at a time. That leaves Shannon with four children, ages 12 to 6. And these are lively children. It leaves Shannon raising that family by herself for weeks at a time when she's also trying to build her own life as a member of her church, the community, the school, and her health. So I asked Shannon how she and Mark are going to handle that. And here's what she said. Dad, Mark and I have one heart. Because of the way that Jesus loves us, we are one. We are one. And whatever happens, His love is a love that we will give each other. And you know how it is with His love, Dad. It overcomes all things. His love never fails. And it will not fail us. What a gift that God gives us today. The gift of love that can love out of our lives whatever is getting in the way of loving that person that we're starting to push away. My prayer for you that you will let God love you. Love you enough to take out of your life whatever's getting in the way, so that you will love that other person in your life who seems so hard to love. Because here's the promise. Love overcomes all things. Love never fails. You can bet your life on that. You can even bet your marriage on that. Amen.